Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, a long time coming. We had a brother on a couple months ago, and we're talking about the lead singer of Hailstorm. It is Lizzie Hale. If you are a fan of Lizzie Hale and Hailstorm, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial-free, exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com, where every episode we've ever done is there in HD, commercial-free, along with about 22 other shows, thousands of hours of entertainment, all in high-quality, high-definition, commercial-free entertainment. You use the code SDR, you're going to get 20% off a 7-day free trial, the live chat, the forums, all the shit you love about Gas Digital at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the code SDR. But we do it once on a Wednesday, once on a Saturday. All we do is care about you watching or listening. So wherever you are right now, Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, or iTunes, just keep spreading the love about the SDR Show. And here it is right now, the Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm episode of, you guessed it, the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, sipping coffee, it seems. Is it coffee, James?
I'm drinking tea, baby. I got to fix my throat out of my death from Sandman.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, James Madden is here. Shannon refusing to show herself today.
She won't show herself ever again.
Apparently, she's all sweaty from working out today. But now, we had her brother on about, I'd say, half a year ago. I could be wrong on that. I have a bone to pick with him. We'll get into it in a second. What can we say about this Grammy Award winning person heralding up the rock and roll? I would say known really as Elizabeth May Hale the Fourth. Look at me knowing that. It is Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for that illustrious introduction. I appreciate you guys having me. And again, for anything that happened with my little brother, I as his big sister apologize for him.
Well, let me start with that, and then I'm going to ask you a follow-up. But first with your brother. Okay. Shannon, even though you're not showing your face, is it fair to say 15 to 20 minutes of the roughly 45 to an hour that we did was about cologne? Is that fair?
I would say substantially more than that.
Okay, so he was obsessed with cologne. So I decided, all right, dude, I'm looking for new cologne. Let's figure this out together.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he goes, absolutely, let's do it right after the show. DM me. Never fucking heard from him again. Never.
Well, to be fair, he doesn't answer my texts either. But no, he has an almost unhealthy obsession with cologne these days. This is from the pandemic, by the way. This is what I mean. There were lots of awful things that happened during during lockdown. And that's in the top five is RJ's obsession with
cologne. Oh, that's really funny. All right. So it's all relatively new. I get it. He was thinking so bad during the pandemic that he had to figure out some way out of it. I get it now.
It's one of those things. But now, I mean, as you have experienced, and for anybody watching, listening, that has met my little brother, you know that he is the exact same on stage as he is off stage. It is not an act. He's a very loud human. And we usually make the joke that you can hear him before you see him, because we always know when he's entered the building, because he's a loud person. But now he's loud in his smells, too. You can smell him.
Oh, so now you smell him coming before you hear him coming.
Yes,
that's nice.
Exactly.
To know. Okay. So now here's what I want. We'll start with this. Your brother remembered it. Maybe you do as well. But that's why I'd like to start by just asking this, because if you do, it'll make me feel good. We're going to go back a bunch of years. I don't know how many years, let's say 7 or 8. I don't know. Maybe I used to host for 10 years straight Shiprocked, which is a rock and roll cruise. And 1 year
they had this idea to do, which is now known as the Stowaways, where they bring in a hodgepodge of people from different bands to go up and do covers. And I was hosting it. I'm backstage. You were there. RJ was there. A bunch of like people from different bands. And there was this fucking weird energy of nervousness because nobody knew each other. They weren't sure what songs they were going to do. And I ran out to the bar and I grabbed a bottle of Fireball and came back and was just pouring it down your throat on stage, your brothers, everybody on, and got everybody drunk. And it was a wild night that launched the Stowaways, but I got in trouble for it. And I want to know if you remember it.
No, no, you know, not all heroes wear capes. Yes. I mean, I forgot shortly, you know, probably a few hours after that, because we were all partying so hard. There was part of a blackout there, but obviously there is, that was needed. I mean, you were looking at this situation saying, hey, there's all these rock stars that are nervous and I got to do something. So I commend you, kind of.
All right, thank you very much. Let the Shiprock people know that I was right for that, for God's sake.
You did get in trouble, Ralph, because you used a horrible liquor like Fireball.
Well,
you,
I just said, what
you couldn't give them some scotch or something real good and shit.
Just so you know, I asked the bartender, what can I grab a bottle of and you're not going to get in trouble? And he goes, take the Fireball. That's why.
Well,
yeah, yeah, the eighth graders
why.
Already drank. That's what it was.
Exactly. So now, Hailstorm, known for crazy amount of touring. I think I read it once, you were doing as much as 250 shows a year, which is insane. Never stopped. And then the world stopped. And that's when Back from the Dead started to get take shape, which you recently, I think in December, only a few months ago, released a deluxe edition of it, of it with the extra songs. You Only Die Once is the song I like the most so far, by the way. But that forced you in a way to reassess not just the band, but like who you are as a singer, who you are as an artist, what makes you happy, what makes Lizzie Hale Lizzie Hale. That was a real moment in time for you. Is that a fair way to assess that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been in this band since I was 13 years old. I've been in this band longer than I haven't been in this band. In my life, and it becomes, you know, so much more than just a career choice or a hobby or whatever you want to call it. It's a part of your identity. It's what makes you mostly you. So when all of that is taken away, and not to mention, you know, playing live shows is our drug of choice. It's there's nothing that can top it. Believe me, we tried during the pandemic just about everything to fill that hole, and it is a hole that cannot be filled. So so you take away all of those things, and then you're left with, like, you know, like how you intro'd me in the beginning. So then I'm left with Elizabeth May Hale IV. I'm like, who is that? You know, what is she doing here? You know, why am I dressed like a homeless person in my house? You know, like, those sorts of things kind of, you know, pop into your head. So all of a sudden, a lot of the songs that we were writing pre-pandemic, pre-lockdown, just seemed very trivial and unimportant and just kind of things that we've done before. So Back from the Dead would have been a completely different album if the world had not stopped, because all of the subject matter and you know, lyrically and everything that I ended up putting into that was part of me trying to rediscover that again, put myself on a stage. You know, write about the weird feelings that I'm feeling and try to give myself a motivational pep talk to get back into it. You know, there was a point in time where, like, I mean, we have a bunch of guitars all around the house, and I'm walking around the house, and like, every time I look at a guitar, I feel sad. I don't want to pick it up. And it's like, you got to snap yourself out of that, you know? And that's how we did it, was making that record. And then when we were mixing and mastering it, I turned to the guys and I'm like, dude, I think we made a heavy record. We weren't necessarily intending on doing that, but then it makes sense because, you know, it's not like you got a stage to lay it out for, you know, you're not getting out that, whatever that, you know, the gremlins that are inside, you're not getting that out in other ways. So we put it all on the record.
And you recorded it differently, right? You did vocals first. That was the first time you did that with the Hailstorm.
Yeah, it's usually I'm the last one to get in there and go sing on it. So this time we're writing the demos, and then we ended up recording the vocals as keepers, and then we ended up building all of the tracks around those vocal takes, which was interesting because you know, as a singer, I feel like you can always tell when, you know, when the music is driving the singer or the singer is leading the music. Mm-hmm. And on this album, I was kind of like dubbed the, you know, the spearhead. And not that I need any more attention. But yeah, it just ended up being a different personality that way.
Did some of those tracks that were part of the pre-pandemic Back from the Dead record ever resurface as bonus tracks or ever get played, or those are gone and forgotten?
The only one that we ended up writing pre-pandemic was on the deluxe edition, and that's Mine, the song called Mine. We ended up writing that shortly after we were done with our album Vicious, just to have fun. We just had fun with like a bunch of synthesizers and tried to figure out like, okay, so what if Pat Benatar and Billy Idol had a love child? What would that sound like? So that was just fun. You know, we brought it back up later on, like when we were just doing bonus stuff. I'm just like, all right, well, it doesn't really fit on the record, but let's put it out anyway on the bonus stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah, and now, some of those tracks are really weird. I'm glad you like You Only Die Once. That's awesome.
Yeah, although Nikki Sixx has died more than once, so you could talk to him about that title. He might have a problem with it.
He might have a problem with it, yeah.
So now, on the topic a little bit of mental health and your wellness, this is kind of a delicate subject, but why not, right? We're only 10 minutes into this. Let's delve deep. So you have this, there's a track on the record called Raise Your Horns, the hashtag Raise Your Horns to raise awareness for mental health. There was a woman that I had a beautiful moment with where we got to play a motorboat contest with girls and guys on the Motorhead cruise. Woo! And it was with Jill Janis, right? And I forget what year that was. It was probably a year before she unfortunately committed suicide, but she was the catalyst, if you will, for you to find that motivation. And I mean, it's funny because I was on stage with her for an hour that day, laughing our asses off on this insane motorboating contest. Who the fuck knew the demons that were in her closet? Because it wasn't that long after that she did that.
It's true. You have to pay close attention to the outgoing, happy people, because there's a lot that sometimes can be going on inside. I mean, we were all on the same page with that, whereas we didn't really know what she was going through. So when she committed suicide, we were all just sad and shocked. And for me, I felt really helpless, because I felt like, well, you know, she's in, you know, my network of, you know, girl singers. And like, maybe I should have reached out, maybe we should have hung out more, that kind of thing. So just feeling a lot of just helplessness about it. And so I ended up just kind of doing it on a whim. I put it out on the socials, you know, just hashtag raise your horns, take a picture of yourself raising your horns if you are touched by mental illness or are involved with somebody who is, just as an exercise to try to see how many people will realize that they're not alone. And so, and it kind of, it went gangbusters. And then during the pandemic, I ended up putting together my own show on YouTube, and I entitled it Raise Your Horns, and just to kind of get the, you know, the awareness out there. But then we would talk about music as well. So when writing this song, Raise Your Horns, I really wanted to capture what that meant to me, and not just, you know, raise your horns like, ah, we're in the pit, but like, what, you know, to exalt oneself and to, you know, to get your, and again, just to make sure that everybody knows how many other people are going through the same thing. And it's kind of interesting because it's come full circle, because when I have felt that way in my life, by putting out those notions or putting out this type of a song, you get so much feedback, and you know, how either the music changes somebody's perspective or it helped them in a certain way. And then all of a sudden I can reflect that back on me and say, oh, well, I wasn't alone in those feelings that I was feeling. We're all in this together. So the song is a ballad called Raise Your Horns, and it doesn't have any drums or guitar in it, which has shocked most of the people about the title.
Yeah, when you see that title, you're expecting to, like, you know, go hit the mosh pit, but you're definitely not. Now, if we go back to young Elizabeth Hale, way back in the day, it's adorable, a little five-year-old who learned piano by Miss Agnolotti, I think is her name, learned Beatles songs, right? And that's how you started. So you started on piano. And I often, why do you have a problem with that, James? Did I know her fucking piano teacher's name? Does that bother you?
There's a lot to unpack right there, Ralph. The way when you try to sound innocent, like you're going into the childhood, is the creepiest. Let's talk about young Elizabeth and your who the fuck knows the piano teacher? Patrick Bateman shit, Ralph.
Is it weird that I was drooling when I said, let's talk about young Lizzie Hale? Is that the problem?
Miss Agnotti? What was she wearing when she taught her, too? You might as well at this point.
Taught her the Beatles, James, for God's sakes.
Jesus Christ. And then she taught you Eleanor Rigby in that wonderful tight dress. What? Whoa, Ralph. Holy shit.
Hey, boy, I'd let you babysit me.
So the funny, because it's interesting, and it could be, and I don't mean to shit on other bands at all, but a lot of Hailstorm songs have hundreds of millions of listens on Spotify and stuff, right? And do you think at all, because you attack the guitar from a piano player's perspective, that it structures songs differently than it would if you were just some schmuck that picked up a guitar and figured it out, like James, for instance?
I am a schmuck. I got my guitar right over here. I'll play it like a schmuck right now. And you could, and then you can go, if I played it, I would attack it like a piano, Ralph.
Yeah, and then see little Jimmy, little five-year-old Jimmy.
Real quick, while she's laughing, I love that you're like, I don't want to shit on other bands. And the band that you said right before is the Beatles. I'm like, are you going to be one of them who shits on the Beatles? I almost threw a guy out of a car because of it. Swear to God, Nathan McIntosh on our way to a road gig. I almost kicked him straight the fuck out.
So is there any truth to that, or am I an idiot, or both?
No, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I don't approach guitar the way a typical guitar player would if that's their first instrument. In fact, the way that I learned guitar was by ear and searching with a piano. I'd have my okay, that's E. That's E. Okay, so like I kind of learned the hard way, which meant, you know, I did skip a couple steps. I feel like, because now I'm like starting to like talk to like real guitar players and be like, oh yeah, there's that whole theory thing, and oh yeah, circle of fifths, that kind of thing. So I've been like refreshing some of my basics, but that being said, absolutely, because I'm thinking about chord structure like a piano player, and I'm thinking about progressions like a piano player. So I'm definitely going to be wailing on that guitar like a piano.
That's cool. See, so James, I was right. You can go. Bottom line is, James, I was right. Go fuck yourself is what I'm going to say.
Ralph, it's a little too early in the day for go F yourself.
And then also, which is hilarious, this when I heard this story, it really made me laugh. The original guitarist in the band, you guys are teenagers because, you, as you said, you've been in this band longer than you've not been in this band. And his mom pulled him out of the band because you guys are just too young. Guy. And that's how you started becoming the guitarist of the band.
Yes, absolutely. Because he was 16 when he joined the band, and he was in the band for 8 months. Now, to be fair, his mother did give me an ultimatum. She said to me, and so imagine I'm 15 at the time. And this, you know, grown lady is sitting me down and says, okay, if you're not signed in 6 months, I'm pulling him out of the band. And I had to explain to a grown woman that, well, first of all, we're probably not going to be signed in 8 months or 6 months. And second of all, we shouldn't be signed in 6 months.
Right,
like,
right.
We don't
we're
even
kids,
know.
For God's sake. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so whatever. So anyway, eight months goes by and I forgot all about it. You know, I thought, she had a change of heart, that kind of thing. She shows up at one of our shows livid. Apparently our guitar player was lying to his mom, said he quit and was sneaking out to go and do gigs.
That's
with us
great.
So
love
she
it.
Caught him and well caught us at rather and pulled him out of the band, and the poor kid, he didn't want to leave. You know, he was a great little guitar player. We've actually reconnected in recent years and
well, that's fucking awesome.
Laughs that too.
You should let him at least come on and play a song. That would be fucking cool.
I know. I told him, like, next time you come to a show, I'm dragging you up there. So it's a date. But But yeah, it's interesting because when he left, or when he taken from us, I was just distraught because it had changed our whole sound. You know, we went from it being kind of like me trying to fill up sounds with like Moog synthesizers and organ stuff and a keytar to now we have a guitar sound. And this is amazing. So, you know, instead of me being like, well, okay, let's try to find somebody, I'm like, well, we're never going to find another one like that, so I might as well learn. Now, lo and behold, obviously we found other bandmates and I'm not the only guitarist in the band, but for a second I was, and it was a big push, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we got gigs coming up. How do I play this by Friday? Somebody teach me drop D now.
That's wild. You know? That is really wild. So, yeah. I mean, you obviously, I know your father for a hot minute played bass in the band. So you obviously come from a musical background. Meanwhile, I don't want you to die. Where are you? Who's driving? You're all safe right now. Wherever you are.
Good. It wasn't you. I'm pulled over, but my watch started talking at me. Because it doesn't think I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be a smartwatch. I think it's stupid sometimes. But
yeah, your father played bass with those that don't know for a little bit, and now, which is funny, he's in a band called Fog, which stands for Four Old Guys. I like that a lot.
That's spectacular.
It's true. I'm glad he's starting to play again, because I think we dashed his dreams for a second, because it was a beautiful moment. They're like over a summer where, you know, dad's still cool. Like, we like hanging out with dad. Dad's in the band. And then, you know, that happens with teenagers where it's like, you know, maybe we should look for somebody our own age. So we had to sit dad down. I had to sit dad down on the couch in the living room and be like, Dad, we're going to look for a bass player our own age.
How old is your dad? Can I ask how old your dad is? He doesn't want to say his age.
He just turned 67.
Okay,
67.
So he's I don't know how old you are. I think you're late 30s, so he's about 20 years older than you. So you were 15, he was 35, so something like that.
He was like 30-something, yeah. So, yeah. Like, he was, you know, still kind of like, okay, well, this is going to be cool. I'm like, because he got a little taste of, you know, what he wanted to do growing up, you know. And so, yeah, to sit dad down and be like, well, you know, as he was good about it, but you could tell he was bummed. And he's like, well,
you ever throw him a bone, you know, and let him come out and play?
You know, we have before, actually, poor guy. We threw him to the wolves. Anytime Papa Storm is in the, I'm like, Dad, you want to plug in the bass? We'll play a song. Let's do it. So
that's awesome.
Poor guy.
James,
but yeah,
why do you look angry?
I'm not, first of all, when you say I look angry, it's the biggest smile I've had in 15 years. I just, sacking your dad has got to be the, I mean, when you do it, let's just say you went and told him like at 3 p.m. When do you, like, is it 2 days before you start pacing going, this has to happen? Like, how do you,
yeah.
I mean, this is, that's, your stomach must be at 18 knots. Me asking you this, my stomach's got
him. Now your bedtime is 9 o'clock. How do you like that?
Yeah. You're never going to get dessert again. Yeah,
I know. I wish you might be grounded for some reason. No, I've had to let go both of my parents from positions, and it's not fun.
Oh my god!
But you know, it's a dry run for you know, now it was funny because like all of our crew you know, knows these stories too, and they're like, nobody's safe. They fired their parents.
You know, I also like at 15, you might have needed your dad to drive you to the gig, and he's like, well, look who needs my fucking help now.
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad he was good about it because he was like, well, can I still hang out at the gigs? I'm like, well, yeah, Dad, someone's got to drive us.
Outstanding.
Fucking great. That's so
cool.
He
went from dad to roadie real quick.
All right, before we go any further, just one simple phrase, $60 kilos. You know it. You love it. It's the Oak Kratom. That's right, the unattainable number, that $60 kilo number no one in the world was ever able to accomplish until your Kratom came along. For years, entrepreneurs, scientists, academics, they all tried to solve that $60 kilo problem. And then finally, those motherfuckers at YoKratom.com came along and figured it out. Thanks to their sheer brilliance, you can now go to YoKratom.com and stock up on those $60 kilos. Do you know if anyone else does? I don't know. Do you know where you get good quality Kratom? Simple. Go to YoKratom.com, stock up on those $60 kilos, and thank you so much to YoKratom for sponsoring this show and all of Gas Digital for 3+ years. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Let's get back into this shit.
Oh, man. I also, the funny thing is, I think you keep your Grammy alongside your third place competition in something where you lost to a tap dancing cowgirl.
Yes. She was much cuter than we were. This was the first This was the first Hailstorm show. This was on August 9th, 1997. And, so summer of 97, my brother and I had like written a couple songs, but like we had one that we really liked. And
Love
we
is Power. Ourselves in a Thank talent you very show. Much.
We entered ourselves in a talent show at the Schuylkill County Fair in Pennsylvania. So oh, yeah. It's like, you know, hay bale tossing. And then there's this like little like outdoor, you know, auditorium that they were putting on this talent show. So me and little bro are in the car. It's just the two of us at the time. Dad wasn't even playing with us. And we had one song that was like 4 minutes long with a drum solo in the middle of it called Love is Power. We were on our way to the show, and little bro, being the annoying little brother he was, is still, was just pounding me for band name. Yeah, he was and smelling good. Yeah. He was just basically like, Liz, you know, we can't go up there as Lizzie and RJ. And I'm like, well, why not? He's like, well, we need a band name. I'm like, well, bro, it's just the two of us. It's not a band yet. And he's like, no, we need a band name. I'm like, okay. So we tossed around a couple names and we named it Hailstorm. So, and we're like, all right. And me, I'm like, that'll work for today. And we went up there, we did our thing. We were nervous as hell. And you know, we didn't win first, we didn't win second, but we took home the third place trophy. And I found it when I was moving. I'm just like, yeah, that goes, the Grammy goes right next to that one because it's just as important.
First of all, did you knock around any other stupid names like Hail to the Band or Hallelujah or anything else dumb like
that?
Yeah,
there was a lot of weird... There was like, I remember there was like a Haley's Comet thing. And then there was like something with family in it, I'm sure, because we were family band. And like, and then we're like, no. And then I think it was RJ. He was like, well, what about Hailstorm? And I don't think it was me. I think it was him. And he's like, because somebody had said it in school, like making fun of our last name or something, which happened a lot. So like, yeah, that'll work for today. And now 25 years later, still doing it. So,
I think you should get that tap dancing cowgirl to open up for you one day. That would be cool. That shows you that you care,
I know. Yeah. I got to go back and look at my mom still has a VHS tape of that performance. I want to find out if she's anybody of note. Like, what if it was Taylor Swift? Like, I don't know.
That would be awesome.
Did she ever tap dance?
So now the other thing that I find fascinating about you is that, forget it, put a Hailstorm on the side for a second. I don't think I know another singer that is doing other tracks as much as you, whether it's the one you just did with Daughtry, with Shine Down, back in the day with Devise, with Stone Sour, Tom Kiefer, In This Moment. I mean, there's probably, and I didn't count them, but probably close to 50, I'm guessing, where you did a guest track on someone else's band or another track, whatever. Did you just become the go-to girl for this, or do you seek it out? Like, how does that happen?
It just, you know, I'm requested, and I either say yes or no. It's a lot more yeses than it is nos, obviously. But yeah, I was just thinking about that the other day because I still have two on my plate that I have that I have to, you know, record this month, and I'm like, man, people are going to be just so sick of me by the end of this year, but it's interesting because I remember when we were coming up in the scene, how that was Corey Taylor for a couple of years, where it's like Corey Taylor was on everything. And I remember thinking, I'm like, man, like it would be cool to like, you know, be wanted that much. So I'm very grateful for it. It's a beautiful thing, and it's fun. You know, you get to do stuff with the people that you love. And, sometimes you get to just kind of, you know, put a different flavor on it. You know, especially with some of the collabs that I've been doing that are outside of rock, what I realized, because they all give me the same speech, they're like, we don't want you to cater to, like, if it's country, we don't want you to cater to country. Like, you're here to rock. This is like what you do. And what I realized is that it doesn't matter whether you're a pop star or a rap star or a country star, everybody wants to be a rock star. Everyone wants to put on the leather jacket and do that. So it's kind of great being able to represent the genre as well.
Were you a little worried, or was there like a lot of thought put into, because it's such a great one, the Daughtry Journey one? I mean, to do that is just, it's such a big song. There had to be a little bit of like, should we be doing this, or like how did was there thoughts on that or no?
Well, No, not really. We both have quite a, you know, we have a love for the 80s cheese, and yeah, especially that music video is iconic. Those dad jeans are everything.
You should have remade that video shot for shot, by the way. That would have been cool.
I'm telling, I literally, Chris and I talk about it nearly every day. We're like, when are we doing the video? And our, and we have to shot for shot do it the way they did it. Got to get the mullets going. But no, it's, you know, with Chris, you know, I've known Chris personally probably since 2010, when we started kind of gigging together and getting to know each other. And so we've been wanting to do something for a long time. We've done little things here and there together, but something like this, Chris basically just cold called me. He was like, hey, I'm in Nashville. I'm in a studio. We're recording a version of Separate Ways, but you know, by Journey, but we're making it into a duet. Like, would you like to duet it with me? And I'm like, bro, that's my go-to karaoke song. I am there. And so like, so I went over to his studio and I maybe spent an hour, you know, singing, and then we hung out the rest of the time, but like neither one of us knew it was going to go gangbusters like it has. We were like texting back and forth every day. Like, did you see it? We beat Shania Twain. This is crazy. You know, it's like, so, it's very cool. And I don't know. I think that with those big songs, you have to go for it. And what's great about Daughtry's band is that I think that they honored all of the musical hooks and parts. Whereas like, you know, cause you can dissect a song to death. Believe me, we've done it before, but there's some covers where we're like, we should have just done it the way it is. Yeah. But no, I think they did a great job and it sounds awesome. And, I'm actually going to be singing, live that song live with him for the first time in London at the end of this month. So it'll That's be a awesome. Nice debut. Yeah.
By the way, you said you had two you're working on. Can you leak out of what those are? You're not allowed to tell us.
No, those are secrets, damn it.
Oh, God damn it. I thought we would catch
you. You'll probably know before I do as to when they come out, because I'm getting a little lost in the sauce with all that stuff, because there's I'm like, wait, released it. Which one are you releasing?
One is this? And also, I don't think people realize, I think he's one of the most talented people of all time, but what a big fan you are of Tom Kiefer's Cinderella. And you did a song with him, which must have been amazing. But what people may not realize, I think it was on the Into the Wildlife CD, you're wearing a pin that's the same pin that he had on the Night Songs album.
Yes.
So it just that you've been a key for. I think that man is so fucking talented and does not get the accolade he deserves.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a big fan of Cinderella back in the day. That was like my when everybody else was listening to Backstreet Boys, I was listening to Cinderella. So
I was listening to both.
Yes, as you should. As you should. I knew that about you. But yeah, I mean, Tom Kiefer gave me him that I'm wearing on the Into the Wildlife cover for my 30th birthday. And he's like, here, you know, I found this and I want to give this to you. And you're the only one that I know you're going to with this, you know, because obviously, like, I love the Night Songs record. And they were such an amazing band. They got swept up in the whole hair band, you know, the cheese of that. But they're an actual, like, amazing hard rock and blues band.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many of those influences. So, yeah, I was very grateful to have not only been able to meet and to duet and to befriend one of my childhood idols, but that, you know, you'd have that one of those little mementos and be able to pass it on, you know.
I mean, I've said this story before on the show, but years ago I had a radio show called The Tour Bus, and we hosted the festival that was like Cinderella and Slaughter and Warrant, and was a bunch of bands. Cinderella was headlining every night that on that tour. All the other bands would come out to watch Cinderella because they're like, oh, we gotta fucking see Tom Kiefer do his thing. And then, in speaking of working with your idols, I love that you actually got to spend time with and perform through a weird set of circumstances, opening up with Ronnie James Dio for the Heaven and Hell tour, and it being his last live show. And it's because Coheed and Cambria dropped out, and you filled in last moment.
These are one of those. It's one of those moments where you feel like it could have gone so easily the other way. You know, whereas like we would have, if it had not been for Coheed Cambria dropping out, and for us, you know, happen to be, you know, in between dates, like going through the same area, you know, and being able to kind of turn that around and do that show, we would have never seen him. I would have never met him, right. And we would have never played. So it's really cool. Some of the most amazing dudes in rock, by the way, but yeah. know, Tony Iommi, Beezer, and of course, you know, Ronnie James Dio, one of the sweetest men, and really made us feel like family, you know. And we were after the show, like, he hung out with us all night, and then he walked us out to like where the buses were, and he's like, okay, so what are you touring in? And we point over to this, you know, beat up RV that we had been trying to chase the buses with, you know. Like, well, we're in that thing. He's like, all right, well, stay here. I'm gonna go I need to sign some stuff for some people, but then I'm gonna come back and I want to say bye. So we got up in our RV and we walked, sign everything for everybody, take every picture. And he still came back. He came back and you know, I was just thanking him for taking the time for us. And he said, he's like, Lizzie, it's a moment in time. You're never going to remember all the people that you meet on the road, but they are going to remember meeting you for the rest of their lives. So you make it good for everybody. Oh, and so, God. Of course, I'm like, yes, sir, Mr. Dio. And and then you realize, and then after he passed, you realize, like, wow, he made that moment for us, like, because we'll never forget that. So right. It's definitely something that we try to pay forward, you know, and just with all the things, because we're all in this together. And whether you're there to watch the show or perform the show, you know, you make it good for everybody.
What's funny is that, so I interviewed him a few times over the years and the other guys from the band. But with him, the first time we met him, he came to this. I used to have my show out at WDHA in New Jersey, and he came out and he was there for the whole night, and we just were having fun with him. And at the end, I said, you know, and I can't believe I said this to him. I shouldn't have said this to him. I was like, I'm so big. I'm 6'6". He's a relatively small guy. I said, yeah. It'd be funny if we took a picture where it made it look like you were my doll and sat on me. And he goes, all right, let's do it. And I have that picture somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Me and Ronnie James Dio. It's fucking that's insane that he said yes to that.
That's amazing. First of all, it's amazing that he said yes. But also, that's like an epic photo.
It's ridiculous. Also, I had this as stupid questions, but a couple of quick ones before we have to ask the first. But number one, you mentioned the tour bus. I have to ask this question. It's a logical question. You're the sole girl in an rest yes. of the guy band. Is there a farting policy? Is there a like smell policy? Like,
is there a farting policy?
There should be.
Can I just say before you answer, Lizzie, that this episode is what's going to get Ralph to become a new correspondent for 60 Minutes. We yes. have done enough in this episode. You can go on the likes of Maury Safer.
I mean, look, Ed Bradley. I never fart around Shannon, our producer, just out of respect to her, but I'm not living on a bus with her for a couple of
just
weeks at
out
a time.
Of respect.
So that's what yeah, I'm curious about.
There's no way that you can control that. No, we end up calling the bunk hall the hall of farts, because that is what it is. And there's some nights where it's a symphony, some nights not so much. So yeah, you just have to kind of accept it.
Okay, fair enough. Also, do you still hide pics around all the shows? Do you still do that?
Yeah, I try to whenever I think about it. And just because it's fun, you know. That started when I was a teenager, and we were a local band, and I would it's like guerrilla marketing. I would go into like a Walmart and leave some and a couple shoes and, you know, around the grocery store, and just to see if anybody would pick it up and be curious enough to look us up. So yeah, so now it's just a fun treasure hunt for anyone who wants to go and hunt for some pics. But
that's yeah. cool. It's awesome. And now we talked about you've done so much work with other bands. Is there anybody you're hoping gives you a call one day and says, hey, Lizzie, can you do this for us? Is there any band you've been hoping for?
I mean, there's always some. I mean, obviously the Foo Fighters, come on. Anything with Dave Grohl, I'm down. Let's see, as far as classics go, I still haven't done a duet with Ann Wilson yet.
You met her recently, though, right? Didn't you meet her recently, like last year?
Yeah, just met her recently, yeah. So like, she's a very sweet woman. Or Pat Benatar, who I have also conversed with, but we haven't sung together yet. So, you know, holding out for that. You know,
that would be cool. And now tell me a little bit about this persona called Night Lizzie.
Oh, gosh. So Night Lizzie comes out when I decide to finish a whole bottle of wine by myself. And I'm not a very nice person, there's like a nice chunk in the middle of it, though, where it's a lot of fun. You know, so it's like you get to the point where you are drunk enough to make stupid decisions, and as long as everybody's just as drunk as you are and making those stupid decisions, we have a good time. If I'm the only one drunk and making stupid decisions, that becomes a problem. But yes, every now and then she rears her ugly head.
I know. I think I'm going to fuck this up a little bit, but you have, I think, more than one, but a signature Gibson guitar that came out not that long ago, right?
That's true.
Then I could be fucking the story, but there's a band now that's out. It's relatively young girls called The Warning. It's like three chicks. I think they're all sisters. I'm not sure, but they're like a rock band. And you like gave them a guitar or something. I'm not really sure of the whole story. Yeah. I may fuck up the details because someone did that to you and you did it to someone else. Is that right?
Yeah, this is a passing of the torch. So I'll start with mine and then I'll do this. But so back in the day, this is around, I want to say 2005, 2006. And we were out with the band Shinedown. And, you know, just cutting our teeth. This is before our first record. And we were playing this show. And I had broken a string on my guitar. And this is before we had, like, roadies or anything. So I go backstage and I grab another guitar. And their guitarist, Jason Todd, at the time, just puts a guitar on me and said, "Here, use this." I'm like, "Okay, cool, thanks." So I'm thinking he's giving me his guitar to use. Mm-hmm. And it's this beautiful Gibson Firebird that I still have. And so I you know, go backstage after the show and I'm like, here's your guitar. Like, thank you so much for letting me borrow it. And he said, "Oh no, that's yours. I went across the street and I bought a guitar for you and I want you to have this." And so I basically said, "Well, what can I do anything for you?" You know, and he says, "Well, the next time that you are inspired by a young guitar player, pay it forward, you know, make sure that they have like the right equipment to continue making their dream happen." So, so all these years later, we're out on tour with, the band, The Warning, which if you have not seen them live yet, you have to. They just attack the audience. Three sisters from Mexico. So it's bass, drums, guitar, vocals. They're amazing. They're just,
I wonder if they fired their parents.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they've done that yet. So we're playing the show with them. And so I got together with Gibson and I got her a guitar. And then it's so funny because it was the same thing. So I end up being her roadie in the middle of one of their sets. And I put this guitar on her. And she, you know, plays out the set. She comes backstage. It's like, "Oh, thank you so much for letting me hold your guitar." I'm like, "No, that's yours." So it's this weird, like, it just, cool. Like, history repeated itself. We all cried. It was great, you know, but no, she absolutely deserves it. She's a little shredder. She's like a young, young female Randy Rhodes. It's really incredible. Cool.
I watched it only after hearing that. I looked them up. They're pretty badass. It's pretty cool. It's interesting to see. And it's also funny because you, for those that may not know, you grew up really around Christian rock more. Like, you grew up like loving Michael W. Smith, who I had to look up who that was because I'm a Jew from Brooklyn. I didn't know who that was, but that was your world. And now you're heralded as the rock and roll metal girl. That's pretty wild. What a 180.
You know, it's nice to it's nice to know about God before you take his name in vain, I suppose. But, you know, I'm grateful for both sides of it, but yeah, we, you know, my parents went through, I was probably, you know, since we were little up until about, I want to say 95 ish, 96 or something, that we were, you know, going to the Christian rock festivals and doing the thing. And I was listening to some contemporary Christian music, you know, and a lot of that stuff still sticks with me. Some of them are great songs. But yeah, it is interesting. I don't think I'd be invited on any of those stages.
So, I mean, if I do the math right, I think your father lost religion right after his daughter fired him from the band. I think that's about the right time. Right.
That was what it is. There is no God. My kids just fired me from the band.
And then lastly, I know you did, then we'll do the first. You've been doing like cover EPs for a while. And then you did one that was like reimagined, that was some covers and some is like reworking the song. Is there a full on cover EP on the horizon again or no?
You know what? We might. We've been toying around the idea with that, but we're also writing original music at the moment too, and trying to figure out what we're going to do for next record. So whichever
record,
one comes first.
Angular Cunt. That record is
yes,
that
yeah. that
Angular
one.
Cunt.
Yes. Angular Cunt. And we've come full circle.
Angular Cunt.
All right, we got to do the first now, Shannon. We don't have all the time in the world for this woman, so let's do it.
The first time ever I saw Concert Detroit had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time. Their first experience with all three, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll. We just mean the first concert you went to on your own volition, not when you were dragged to by your Christian rock band loving parents. I'm saying one that you said, I want to go see this, and you went.
Awesome. The first band that I ever went to go see, you know, not drug out by the parents, was actually Tool during the Lateralist tour. So I was like 17 years old. So I had two tickets. I was planning on taking my little brother. But mom said no, because she was worried about him or us together. I don't know what the whole point of her not letting him go, but letting me go. So I gave the other ticket to this guy that I had a crush on, you know, because I'm like, this is my first move, right? Mm-hmm. So I take him to the Tool show. Three songs in, he falls asleep.
Oh,
really?
Fall asleep at a Tool show, especially during Lateralist? That's like a nightmare if you want.
And also,
you know,
that odd timing signature of Tool. How do you fucking relax during that?
Yeah, people, you know, you shouldn't sleep to that. So lo and behold, that was the interest in him was over for me.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that was a deal breaker. But to this day, my little brother is still upset that he didn't get to go to that show. So now anytime that we play a festival where Tool is playing on the same night, we go out there and we rock out. So.
And you go look in the audience and see if there's a dude sleeping and maybe it's him. The first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't the first drug you ever did.
Oh, man. Weed was the first drug that I ever did. I haven't done any drugs. I've never done cocaine. I don't do pills. Oh, okay. I have done mushrooms though, but that was only recently in the past couple of years. So, that's awesome. First of all, love mushrooms. Think about this. This was during lockdown because figured, you know what? Why not? I'm not going to leave the house. You know, just sitting out on the porch, ate a mushroom chocolate. And it's crazy. I named all the trees. They were looking at me. I had some friends that were in the tiles of my bathroom floor that I would be talking to. So basically made a lot of like friends that don't exist. But it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
The sunset was beautiful. Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that you said that you used to pretend that the leaves rustling was people cheering for you when you were a kid. So maybe that's how that all ties together.
Which is interesting because I thought about that moment when I was high on mushrooms. And I'm like, I wonder, did my parents drug me when I was 9? Or was that just like a natural... Why do I have this memory from when I was like 9 singing in the woods and like pretending like the leaves were rustling were clapping and the audience members, like maybe that's just your 9-year-old self. Maybe like we do mushrooms so we can get back to that 9-year-old self. I don't know.
I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. And now the first time you had sex.
First time I had sex, I was a late bloomer, you know, 20. Was when I lost my virginity. You know how us Christian girls are. It's anything but, you know, then
anything
the
but God I get it, James. Anything but, you get it?
Ralph, I wanted you to wink when you said that. You kind of let me down. I needed a good Ralph Sutton wink. You're not going to get
bring it up. Lizzie's not bringing winking. It up, not me.
I'm from Hayes, you know. It's I thought that was well known with you nice Jewish boys. Anyway.
That'll be the band we form, Ralph.
The name of the episode has to be anything but with two T's. And why not? So that was how you said you were 20.
Yeah. And so finally opportunity, you know, okay, everybody's out of the house. I got the house to myself. cool, get together. And I made the mistake because there was a debate that, you know, when I first started getting to know this guy, there was a debate as to I wasn't going to tell him whether I was a virgin or not. And and he's like, oh, you know, like, so, well, I'll find out, I suppose, whatever. and so, you know, did the whole thing. It was a lot of fun. And then it was like the next day where I'm like, well, I guess you have your answer. And he's like, oh, yeah, you weren't a virgin. I'm like, what?
Seriously? All right. That's cool. I like that.
So, at least I didn't act like one, I suppose. But
that's awesome. I like hearing that. All right. So you can follow at official Lizzie Hale and Hailstorm Rocks. Also, I found out, which is interesting, that apparently a Grammy holds 3 shots of tequila. That's what Lizzie discovered, right?
Yes, that is fun trivia, fun fact.
The deluxe edition of Back from the Dead came out in December. You guys are out everywhere all the time. If you want to go see Hailstorm, just wait a week or two. They'll show up in your neighborhood for the most part. But is there anything you want to plug before we go around the room and do the rest of the plugs?
I mean, thank you everybody for coming out to the shows. Come out and buy a ticket. We'll be out everywhere. Really, we're just plugging away and making music right now. But thank you so much to everybody listening, and thank you so much to you guys for having me on the show. This is an absolute blast. I know it's been a long time coming, but I'm glad we made it work. So
yeah, I think we tried getting you guys a few times on the show. I think so over the years, but I'm glad it finally happened. So that's important.
That is that. Yes, it's it's not about
next
how
time
long
I see you. We'll do shots of Fireball together. James, your plug.
Yes,
Fireball forever. I just say it's amazing to see a rock band plugging being on the road while they're on the road. Like, she's not joking, guys. She's in the goddamn car now going to your city. She's on her goddamn way now. This isn't pussy putting around, B.
Yeah.
The James Mattern on Instagram and YouTube. You can check out the Check Spot. And yeah. Please go watch every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. on Vice. Watch Super Maximum Retro Show. It's Chris DeStefano's show, but I do warm up. And if you watch, we'll get more episodes. So my friend will be on TV more, and I get to do warm up and fucking buy things in the small apartment. So it's nice. That's nice.
Shannon, even though you're not going to show your picture, unless you got ready in the past half hour.
I did not.
All right. So let's hear your plug, Shannon.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is. Ding, we talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, and they tell their own personal experiences about their first date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now, Lizzie, don't answer at all until we chime this in. The question, now I'm having a difficult time with this, is does Lizzie Hale believe in ghosts? James, you go first.
Okay, so I understand the conflict. I'd say based on her personality, you would think she probably isn't, but with the Christian background,
that's what's confusing me.
There's that, and that could go either way because I don't know how like how tight she is with it now. I'm gonna say yes. I'm going yes, and looking. I'm just my
Shannon,
hand covering
Shannon,
your face.
Shannon, your thoughts?
I feel like it's a strong yes.
All right. Well, I'm gonna be the contrarian here and go with no. Because she said something about, you know, about making fun of the God if he wants to know what she said. And I feel like her, I don't know, I'm going to go with no. My instincts are no. Go ahead, Lizzie. Do you believe in ghosts?
All right. So first of all, yes. And it might not be the Holy Ghost anymore, but but there's so many different haunted venues that we've played around the country and have nearly witnessed firsthand just some crazy supernatural shit going on. So I want to say yes, because there's no guarantee of a no, and I feel like there's more of a guarantee of a yes.
In a very interesting way I was right. So
what are you talking about? That's a big W for me and Shannon. You're looking at a winner, baby. I'm a winner, Ralph. Winners win. Winners fucking win, baby.
All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Trigger Podcast. It comes out every Monday. Shannon, it's official. We're doing tastings for our restaurant. It's opening at 3rd Avenue, 69th Street. Next week, you're coming with me, Shannon. Ooh. We're going to try out some food. But really, just thrilled to finally, after all these years, to have Lizzie Hale on the show. And I hope you yell at your brother for never telling me what cologne to buy.
I'm going to do that later. Yeah, absolutely.
And we pick a song every week for the playlist. I was going to do a new one, but I feel like I do like You Only Die Once, but you said mine was the one that was originally written before the album. So that to me is cooler. So let's do mine off the deluxe edition. We'll add that to the playlist. Lizzie Hale, Hailstorm, thank you so much for coming on the SDR show.
Thank you, darling, so much. Love you guys. Thanks for taking the time for me.
Listening to the SDR show.